We are continuing our series. So we're doing two series, actually, simultaneously. We're doing the Beatitudes as we're getting close to finishing that, doing one by one each week. And on Communion Sundays, the first Sunday of the month, we also are continuing our testimony series where we're hearing from different people in the church telling us like it is or how they have experienced God at a time or a moment or in a context in their life. And so this morning, we're blessed to have Lori Kasner, who's going to be sharing with us. And so I'm grateful for that. She picked out the following two scriptures that you'll hear are underneath her testimony this morning. And so I invite you to listen for the word of God in today's scripture from Psalm 121 and Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. To also listen for God's word and the testimony that Lori will be sharing with us this morning. Listen for the word of God. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The Lord will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun by day, it shall not strike you, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. And from Luke chapter 2, 8 to 11. In that region near the city of David called Bethlehem in Judea, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. So as Lori comes up, we're going to continue in our little tradition that we've been doing each time we have a testimony. And I want to invite you to a moment of silence and you can be praying for Lori. It is both easy and terrifying to be up here. I'm grateful for Lori, who said yes to coming up, as many of you have. And so let's just take a moment and you can shower Lori with love and encouragement and blessing as she prepares to share with us. So we'll just take a moment for that. Amen. Thank you, Lori.
When Monty emailed me about giving a testimony, my first thought was no. My next thought was maybe. And then I thought about an example that I knew that showed God to me, and it was through my mother. However, this morning, something happened, and I felt led to give a totally different testimony. Monty, I hope you won't kill me. the reason for this testimony is that today would have been Mike's younger brother's 63rd birthday. And his brother's name was Darrell, actually. And I first met Darrell in 1979 when Mike and I went back after being married just several months to visit his parents and family for 2 weeks. And Darrell and I got along immediately. We talked about all kinds of stuff. He was 6 years younger than Mike and 7 years younger than me, but he was a very kind of feisty person. He had definite points of view. He was willing to try new things. We would go water skiing in the summer. I managed to not get on the water skis, thank you. We would play Monopoly a lot, and I would usually lose. And we just had a lot of fun. We had things to talk about, and we always talked on the phone, too, once we were home, and Darrell was back in Wisconsin and then in Missouri. And Darryl would, I think I knew more about Darryl's girlfriends than Mike did, and I know I knew more about his girlfriends than his parents knew. So we always, you know, we were close. And then suddenly, I guess it would have been in 1982 or 3, Darryl had believed in Jesus. You know, he'd always gone to church. But he came home that summer, and he had become an evangelist. I mean, all he wanted to do was read the Bible, listen to messages on the radio from evangelists, and he had tons of cassettes he'd bought from the church he attended. And I remember one morning getting up around 7 o'clock in the morning, and he was already listening to a radio evangelist. And Mike's dad said, "Oh, you know, Darryl, we really don't need to hear that so early in the morning." And so one of those days during vacation, he was talking about God. And I said, "Darryl, you know, you've always gone to church. You've always believed. I mean, what happened? I mean, what caused this kind of monumental shift?" And he said, "Well, I found out that everything else in life fails." He said he was a member of a large organization of rather militant blind people. And he said that organization failed, that failed me. And he said he was interested in psychology. And he said, "I found out like being a psychologist isn't the answer." And he said, "The only thing that doesn't fail is God." Well, I was very moved by this. But the next year, early 1984, Darryl called us and said, talked to Mike and said, "You know, I'm not feeling that great. I think I've got some kind of sinus infection." He couldn't breathe well at all. And his parents, I'm not sure if they went with him or insisted that he go to a doctor. And the doctor discovered that Darryl had a tumor in, I think at that point, his sinus cavity. So they did surgery, and they removed part of the tumor, but some of it was in his brain or lining to the brain, and Darryl became ill. But his faith never wavered. He never felt God was responsible in a bad way. He was still studying the Bible and going to church and talking about God, and you could tell his faith was sustaining him. He later had surgery at Oral Roberts University in Oklahoma, and he had different bouts of chemotherapy. And then in 1986, for a while, they thought the cancer was in remission. And of course, everyone was extremely grateful. And Mike went alone that summer to visit, and they just had this wonderful visit together. I was always grateful for that. Because the cancer came back. And his faith never wavered. I mean, that was the thing. His faith never wavered. We went to see him early in 1987 when he was in Missouri, and we visited, and we had a really nice visit, but you could tell he was fading. He wasn't doing well. He eventually went home, and still he would talk about God, talk about his faith, read the Bible, and he died in June of 1987. And the scriptures that I had chosen for my testimony, which was to be about my mom, Psalm 121 begins, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord." Darryl always believed and trusted that his help came from the Lord. And as for the scripture in Luke, he certainly knew the joy of the good news. He knew that Christ had come. Through the suffering he underwent and through the changes that he had to face in his life, his faith and trust in the Lord was an example. It's something that I remember whenever I think of Darryl, who was like a brother to me. He knew the Lord, he showed the Lord to others, and he left a legacy for me to know that we can always trust God. Thank you.
I don't know, Lori, maybe you were afraid. Is that why you took off so quickly? She took off before I could invite us to do as we've been doing, take a few moments of silence, just to be grateful and to sit with the word. And the testimony that Lori bore for us. So let's take a moment like that.